turning your Bibles, please, to John chapter number 7. John chapter number 7, verse number 26. Well, we'll back up to verse 25, just to try to get the setting of it. Verse 25 and 26. Let's stand, please, while I read the Word of God. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, "Is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ?" I want you to pay close attention to that statement, last statement. Do the rulers know? Do the rulers know? My subject today is, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. And Father, we are thankful that the Holy Ghost worked in our hearts that we might know who Jesus is. And I pray, Father, that you would help those that are here today that know not who Jesus is, may come to know him. I pray today that you would help all of us today to yield our lives, that he may rule and reign in our lives, and that we may glorify him and magnify him in all things. We do ask you today, God, to help us to preach. We need a touch of God. We need that divine anointing power of the Holy Ghost, and I pray, God, give us liberty here today and rebuke the devil, every hindering cause, and I pray that you just illuminate our minds and touch our lips and help us physically and spiritually in every way to preach the Word of God as you'd have it to be done so today. Now bless, magnify yourself. We'll give you the glory and honor and the praise, and thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. We're talking about that subject, who is Jesus? And this time of year, we think a lot about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thinking today about who Jesus is. If you remember over in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And that truly gives one a little bit of what Jesus is, who he is. And fact is, in the Word of God, Jesus is called a lot of things. And you can keep on naming over and over. He's wonderful. He is the Counselor. He is the beginning. He is the end. He's Alpha Omega. He's the I am that I am. He's the shepherd. He's the door. He's the way. He's the life. He's the truth. And you can go on and on with that. And Jesus Christ is, they sing a song here sometimes, "He's all that I need." Amen. Now I say today, who is, he's all that I need. I praise God for the Lord Jesus Christ and who he is and what he does. You remember Peter there one day in Matthew chapter 16, and well, back up to verse 15 and previous to that, some have been saying who they thought Jesus was. And Jesus said, "Whom think ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Believe thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." I say hallelujah. I believe he's the Christ, the Son of the living God. There's an old song that used to be sung. I hadn't heard it in a long time. It says, "Everybody ought to know who Jesus is." You remember that song? I'd sing it if I could, but I started to sing it and I was afraid my wife would pass out. But it's "Everybody ought to know," and then there's a repeat comes in there, and man, it's got some good words to it when you stop and think about it. I don't know why we don't sing it today. But everybody ought to know who Jesus is. And when I say know who Jesus is, that these people that know about Jesus, but they don't know who he is. And then they, some folk never heard about Jesus Christ, period, in our world. And they need to hear the blessed old story that Jesus Christ came into the world as a virgin-born Son of the living God, and that he died on the cross, that he rose from the dead, and that he's coming back to get us. Somebody put it like this one day. Said, "None of us deserve to go to heaven, but everyone deserves to hear who Jesus is." I believe that's a true statement. And I say to you today, we need to hear who Jesus is. And who is he today? Who is he in your life? What does he mean to you? And I'm just going to try to share a few things. Of course, this subject is inexhaustible because it's all through the Bible who Jesus is. But we find him in the burning bush. We find him in the fire where the three Hebrew children were. When the king rose up and said, I see four men down there, and fourth one likened to the Son of God. And so who is Jesus? And that's our subject we'll try to do a little bit with today. And I pray God to help us. And I pray the Holy Ghost to take it and speak to your heart and deal with your life and my life together that we might know who Jesus is. To the saved, he is the Savior. Amen. Aren't you glad he's the Savior? I'm glad we have a Savior. Didn't have to have, but he loved us enough to give us a Savior. I am thankful that he is a Savior. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he hath made him, God hath made Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He is the Savior. He's a Redeemer. He took our sin. He was made our sin, paid our price. When we talk about the saved and he is a Savior, he is a Redeemer. He is the one that paid our price, paid our sin debt, made sin for us, that we might be saved, saved, saved. I'm glad today that I have a Savior. Jesus is not just a baby in a manger land somewhere. He's a living Savior. And a Savior is one that saves. And so we talk about being having a Savior. We're talking about being saved. And saved from what, preacher? Saved from the penalty of sin. Amen. Penalty of sin is death. Separation from God in hell. And I'm glad today, thank God, I'm not going to hell. I am thankful that I have a home in heaven because I am saved by the very grace of God. And you're here today and you're not saved. He's not your Savior. He is a Savior, but he's not your Savior. I pray today that you'll come to know who Jesus is as your personal Lord and Savior. I ask you today to think about that. He not only saves, boy, I like this part too. He not only saves from the penalty of sin, he saves us from the guilt of sin. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad he saves from the guilt of sin? I mean, to be saved is a wonderful thing in itself. But think about your past. If that all kept on and you kept carrying that burden, kept carrying that load, wouldn't that be an awful thing? But hallelujah, he takes the guilt away. Old song says, what sins are you talking about? The devil will bring them up and Jesus will say, what sins are you talking about? I paid for those. They're already settled, taken care of. And I say, hallelujah, that's enough to shout on a Sunday before Christmas to know that the guilt is gone. Amen. And we today can say, hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved. I'm thankful for that. I'm glad I have a Savior that saves. And he does that. Well, I don't want to get tied up too much, but that's a good point and the most important point. He saves, amen. But I want you to know he satisfies too. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. In Psalms 107 and verse number 9, for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. I say hallelujah. I'm glad he satisfies. Psalms 37, I believe about verse 4 says, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of thine heart. Now, he's not going to give you the desires of your heart if you're not delighting in the Lord. But if you delight in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Because the desires of your heart will be right if you delight in the Lord. And today, our society delights in a whole lot of things, but not the Lord. But I want you to know today, thank God, delight in the Lord. You'll find God being able and will fulfill the desires of your heart. I'm glad he satisfies the longing soul. He fills the hungry soul. I'm glad today that you're here, that you're lost without God, that you can be satisfied. You can walk out of this building and say, I'm satisfied with Jesus. He's all that I need. Today you're sitting here and thinking about the things you need, things you want or whatever. But I'm telling you what you really need is Jesus, the blessed darling Son of the living God. And so he satisfies. You know, he satisfies, but thank God he supplies. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all you need according to his riches in glory. He didn't say according to how Washington's doing. He didn't say according to how the bank accounts are doing. He said according to the riches in glory. And those riches in glory, thank God, never run out. And God said, I'll supply your need. He didn't say I'll give you everything you want. He didn't say, I'll make you rich. He didn't say, I'll give you a Cadillac and may have one, I don't know, but he didn't. That's okay. Whatever it is, it's okay if you got one, but any kind of a Lexus or whatever it is, I don't know who's got what. But I'm telling you right now, it doesn't make any difference about that. It doesn't make any difference how big your house is, how large your bank account may be, or how much stock you may own, or whatever else it is that you have invested in. But I'm telling you what really matters is that his riches in glory shall never run out. And we can tap in on those, amen. He said he supply every need that we have. And I believe that with my heart, that Jesus Christ does supply the need. Thank him for it. He also sanctifies, that means set apart. And by his blood, in Hebrews 13:12, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people by his own blood, suffered without the gate. I say hallelujah. He suffered without the gate. That traditional place that some believe in Jerusalem and says Christ was crucified, he was crucified outside the city, outside the gate. He was crucified on, I believe, Gordon's, what they call Gordon's Calvary, outside the city, because he had to fulfill scripture, and he shed his blood and took our place. And I say hallelujah for that today. Who is Jesus anyway? He's a Savior, amen, who satisfies. He's a Savior who supplies. He's a Savior who sanctifies. Set apart. I am glad he sets me apart, and I did not have to stay in the pig pen. Amen. Now, when you got saved, you may have been like the prodigal son and smelt like the pig pen when you got home. But did you ever notice that it wasn't long when he got his arms around the father and father's arms around him? It wasn't long till he had on a new robe and had on new shoes. It wasn't long till he had a ring on his finger. It wasn't long till he undoubtedly smelt different, looked different, because he got to Christ and I got to the Father. And I say the picture of us getting to Jesus in the day. I'm glad that he sanctifies, set apart for his glory and his honor. He is the one that sanctifies. Thank God for the blood that was shed at Calvary. And I give him glory and praise and honor by that. In John 17:17, he said, Jesus, this is a great intercessory prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's praying in John 17. And as he's praying, he said, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. And I say hallelujah for the word of God. It is truth, amen. And you get in the word of God and it'll sanctify you. It'll show you where you're failing. It'll show you what you ought to do. It'll help get you apart from the world, get you apart from the things of sin in your life. It'll help you. And I say praise God for the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus? And they asked the question there in our text, do the rulers know, do they know that this Jesus is the Christ? And I'm asking you today, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Do you really know who Jesus is? Do you really know that? Then I'm going to tell you a few more little things here about who Jesus is, but I want you to know this today. I want you to get this part if you don't get anything else. Who is Jesus in your life as a Savior? Is he your Savior? Could you honestly say, I know that I know that I know that I'm saved, and that I know who Jesus is, and that I am personally acquainted with him, and he is personally acquainted with me. And I praise God and thank God for that. Then to the sinner, he's the sacrifice. Amen. I'm glad we have a sacrifice for us. You remember the Passover, and we've mentioned that many times, but let me mention again today. That Passover night, when God told the children of Israel, you sacrifice a lamb, take the blood, put it on the doorpost, like this is a door, and put it on this side, and on the lintel, and said, you put the blood up there, and said, then you get inside the house. Boy, this makes a good illustration this morning. Get in the house, and you stay in there all night long. Don't come out. You stay in that house, and said the blood be on the doorpost in the middle, and said when I pass over and I see the blood, there'll nobody die in that house. But if the blood's not there, the elder son shall die in that house. I don't know what they may have been doing in the house some. I know they were eating roasted lamb. That's like feasting on Jesus when you're saved. You begin to feast on the word of God, the things of God. It's real food. It's soul food. It's good for you. Amen. You're feasting on that. Then somebody in there may have been out of sorts with somebody, but that wasn't an issue. Somebody may have been angry about something, but that wasn't the issue. The issue was the blood up there. As long as that blood was there, they were all right. I say, praise God, one day John looked down the road, saw Jesus coming and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Who is Jesus anyway? To the saved, he's a Savior, but to the unsaved, he's a sacrifice. And I say to you today, thank God he shed his blood for our sin. He paid our price. He's a sacrifice that God accepted in place of us. At the cross where I first saw the light. I'm glad the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ took away my sin. Amen. Aren't you glad you know him as your Savior? Aren't you glad he saw him as your sacrifice one day? By the way, you'll never be saved until you realize that you are lost and he's not your Savior. And then you realize that he sacrificed himself for your sin. There's a whole lot of buying going on, a whole lot of gift giving, and that's all right in its place. There's a whole lot of other things going on in the season that has nothing to do with Jesus. But I can tell you right now, the greatest thing about Christmas is the Son of the living God came into the world to go to the cross of Calvary. Somebody said the shadow of the cross laid over the manger, and from the time he was born to the time he died for our sin, that's what it was all about. Then he rose from the dead. I say hallelujah, hallelujah. I'll say just a little bit more about that in just a minute, but I'm glad he is a sacrifice for sinners' sin, and he'll be your sacrifice if you'll let him be that. He is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Let me say, who is Jesus? To the Satan, he's the one that needs to be silenced. The devil would like to silence the Lord Jesus Christ. If he could silence us, he's silencing that that Jesus is trying to say through us. But he's trying to silence. The devil never gives up. He's always fighting. He's always trying to silence the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember the temptation of Jesus? And Satan took him out there. Well, he'd been out there. Satan didn't take me. Drove him out there by the Spirit in the wilderness. And was there 40 days and 40 nights. And then the devil come by, started tempting him about turning stone to bread. He said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Took him up the pinnacle of the temple and said, cast yourself down, prove who you are. And Jesus said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then he took him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the earth, and said, if you'll fall down and worship me, I'll give you all these. And Jesus said, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. I say, hallelujah. He tried to silence. If Jesus had turned stone to bread by Satan's suggestion, it would have ruined everything. If he'd have jumped off the temple trying to prove who he is, proving who he was, that would not be the way God wanted to sit done, the Father. And then if he had bowed down to Satan, it would have all been over. But I'm glad, praise God, the devil didn't win. Fact is, Jesus did no sin. He never even thought a wrong thought. He never said a wrong word. He never took a wrong step. He never did anything that was wrong. I say today, praise God for a living Savior that is a perfect man. A perfect man. He never failed God in any way whatsoever. And there he is. The devil then tried to get him killed. Took him to the cross of Calvary. Got people raised up against him and saying, crucify him, crucify him. And there were many days before that, they were saying, blessed is the Son of God, Hosanna in the highest. Not many days before that, the crowd was crying out. Then they're crying, crucify him, crucify him. I tell you, you can't depend on what man says, but you can depend on what God says. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Who is Jesus? And the devil thought, I'll get him now. I'll have him killed. And he didn't. And he died at Calvary. Now the devil didn't kill him. The devil didn't have him killed. The soldiers didn't kill him. Nobody else killed him. Jesus laid down his life willingly for our sin. But then the devil probably sat back and laughed and said, now I've got him. Now I've got him. But what he didn't realize was there was a blood flow started. As the stream started from Calvary, that's still flowing, hallelujah. And the devil been trying to stop that flow now, get the blood out, stop the blood. But hallelujah, the blood was shed for our sin. And then Jesus got up the third day, and the devil trembled and shook because God said that Jesus took the keys of hell and of death away from Satan and walked out victorious. I say amen. I believe he shook him at him as he came out. I'm alive forevermore. How you know, preacher? Because he said over in Revelation 1:18, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and of death. And I say to you today, praise God for a living Savior that lives, lives. Brother McIntosh, hallelujah. And make anybody want to shout and praise God that know him, that he's a living Savior, not a dead Buddha, not a dead somebody else laying somewhere, but a living, living Savior. Thank God. Devil can't silence him, but here, let me throw this in at the close. Now, I think this will help all of us. To God the Father, he is the beloved Son in whom he's well pleased. That's what he said about him. He said, when he was baptized, he said, voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. I want you to know today, thank God, who is Jesus? He's the one that pleased the Father in all that he did. He never displeased him in any way. I know that Jesus is God. I know that he's God incarnate. I realize that. I can't explain all that. My mind can't conceive of all that. But I believe it with all my heart that he was God in flesh. But as a man, he submitted himself to the Father and said, not my will, but thy will be done. And for the Father to say, my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased, ought to be every one of our desires. Now, I am not the only begotten Son of God, but I am one of the sons of God, one of the children of God. He said to them that receive him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God in John chapter 1. I have that power to become one of the sons of God. He saved me by his marvelous grace. Holy Ghost baptized me into the body of Christ. And now I'm one of the children of God. But I have a desire, Brother Bill, someday to hear him say, well done. I want him to be pleased with my life. I want my life to please him as we live. I want to please him in Christmas time. I want to please him in Easter time. I want to please him in any other time. But all the Sundays in between, all the days in between the Sundays, and all the nights in between that, I want to please him. Amen. It's not so important. I appreciate everybody's been so kind to me. I appreciate words of encouragement. I thank God for that. I appreciate on my desk this morning, I walked in, and there was some long letters and papers fixed that children had fixed for me and said, Merry Christmas to the preacher. And they told me they love me. And all, they don't know that. That means a whole lot to this preacher. I love those children, and that's precious to me. And you as adults are precious to me. And every kindness that you do. But I want you to know I'd rather please him than please anybody else in this world. Amen. Please the Lord. Does your life please the Lord? If you had to right now stand before God, would you say your life pleased God? Would the Father say you please me? Or are you living to please yourself, living to please other people? I want you to know the pressure's on today to please, be politically correct, please other people and do what they say or whatever. I just believe we ought to please God and forget about everybody else, not forget about caring for them, but as far as their opinions, it's thus saith the Lord that amounts to what really counts. Are you pleasing the Lord in your life? How is your life? How is your life anyway? You know, we think about Christmas time, there'll be parties, and I know there's some men sitting here right now that have positions in their work where they're considered high up, I guess you'd call it. But when they have any kind of the meetings they have to be at, if there's anything to drink, they know not to bring them anything to drink except a Coke or something like that. You know why? Because they won't take it. I say hallelujah. But how many of you will this Christmas find a party where you'll be and you'll be sipping on something? Oh, me, preacher, you meddling now. I just thought I'd meddle a little bit for just a moment. It'll help you. We need to be pleasing God. Who is Jesus? He's a Savior. Thank God he is. He's a sacrifice. Thank God that he is. He's the one Satan wants to silence, but he can't do it. He's still speaking. By the way, you find Satan in Genesis accusing God to man. So God's holding out on you. Be like the gods if you eat this fruit. In Job, you find him accusing man to God. said if you didn't protect him like you do and bless him like you have, he wouldn't serve you. Then you find Satan speaking again to the very God-man himself, the Lord Jesus. And he could not win that battle. But you know what? In Scripture, you never find Satan speaking again. You find him working, but you don't find him speaking. Jesus silenced him. Amen. He wanted to silence Jesus, but Jesus turned it around on him and silenced the devil. I say hallelujah. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. If heads bowed and eyes closed, who is Jesus? Do you know who he is? Who is he to you? If you're not saved today, I want you to know you can come to know Jesus. You say, preacher, I don't know what to do. You just make your way out and come and bow. Jesus will help you. You're here today as a young person or an adult, and you're not saved. What a blessed day to get saved, to come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Heads are bowed, eyes closed. Father, thank you for Jesus. Have your way in this invitation. I pray the Holy Ghost do a work. In Jesus' name, amen.